Hey, welcome to Life Church. We pray this blesses you and empowers you for your week ahead. We hope you enjoy this message.
Yes, I am. Have the privilege today of opening up the scriptures with you. And I don't know, church, I'm fired up today. You guys are ready. I don't know what you've done this morning. You may have got up at 5, had your breakfast, had your quiet time. The sun helped, but I don't ready. But Jock was right. There's a war cry, faith in the room that I'm excited and expecting this morning for God to speak to you. Do you believe it this morning? Come on. But my wife is very pregnant. She's on the front row. So if I do have to dash halfway through the message, I'm going to say, let's have some worship or something like that. That's what most pastors say, don't they, when they don't know what to do. But we're going to continue today in our I Am series. We've had 2 weeks of it now. We have I Am the Bread of, and I Am the Light of the... Good job, class. You passed a star. And today we are going to be talking about I Am the Good... Shepherd, the good shepherd. And a shepherd is a person who tends, herds, feeds, guards their flock. And living in Yorkshire, we are blessed in abundance with sheep, to say the least. Just a quick honest moment for you, church. I'm not a massive fan of sheep, okay? I'm sorry. Actually, scratch that. I'm not a fan of animals, okay? Don't send me hate mail. You can send them to jockjames@lifechurchhome.com. For any animal lovers in the room this morning, anyone? Yes, quite a fair few of you. I have a terrible fear of birds. You will not find me in Trafalgar Square at any time. I need prayer for that. But growing up, we had a fish. We had a guinea pig called April because we got him in the month of April. And for some reason, I married a wife who loves animals. Why, Lord? At least 3 times a day, I get asked, can we get a dog? Can we get a dog? And now I have a son who now he's used as part of the manipulation, goes, Jackson wants a son. Jackson wants one day, Jackson wants a dog. And now he says, Daddy, can I get a dog? And I'm like, no, because it may start out as cute, but I know at one point it is going to become 1,000% my dog. I have been there 1,000%. So instead of being a cruel dad, because I know you might be thinking, oh, you're such a killjoy, Aaron, you're so boring. Just get your cute little son a dog. Come on, make them exactly this. A few hecklers at the front saying, yeah. But I decided that I needed to make a plan. So I remembered going to IKEA one time, and during the kids section, there is an abundance of stuffed animals. And so when I went to IKEA, I was walking down the thingies, and I said, oh, look, Jackson. Did you want a dog? He says, yes, Daddy. I said, this is your doggy. And I said, Jackson, do you love it? Do you love it? Do you love it? He says, yes, Daddy, I want it. I said, Jackson, it's your puppy. And I said, oh, Jackson, what's his name? By no word of a lie. What's his name? He says, Jesus. I promise you, his name's Jesus. And then to make it better, the next thing he said to me was, I said, what does Jesus say? He says, amen. True story, but look at the screen. You can see my boy. He just absolutely loves animals. And where is it? You can put it up there. I mean, look at that. You will never catch me doing that as long as I live. All right? Never. But I am the good shepherd. Slight transition. Jesus used this metaphor of being the good shepherd and even called himself that. He says in John 10, it's going to come up on the screen, that I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. When the wolf attacks and the flock scatters, the man runs away because he's only hired hands and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. And just as the Father knows me, I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Father, we thank you for your word that is sharper than a two-edged sword. God, I pray you'll speak directly to our soul this morning. Help us, Father, have ears to hear, Father God, today, not just to have this moment to pass by, but in this next 25 minutes, I pray for a direct word to the situation that people are facing today in the name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen, amen. First and foremost, I think it's really important for us to understand today that he is not just a good shepherd, that he is the good shepherd, that he is supreme, he is unique in character, he is noble, he is wholesome, he is good, he is kind, he is caring, he is gentle, he is beautiful and perfect in all of his ways. So scripture is very specific in saying that he is the good shepherd. In verse 11, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. There is nothing you have done or said or can do in the future that can stop him from chasing you down, from loving you, from protecting you, from you, because he is the good shepherd. Now, if he is the good shepherd, does that make us sheep? Well, I hope not. Don't look like sheep to me in this room. But scripture does actually say in Isaiah 53 that we are all like sheep. We've gone astray, and each one of us have turned to our own way. It is no accident that God decided to call us a sheep. Why? Because there's quite a lot of similarities between the animal of a sheep and us. Their fears, their timidity, their stubbornness, sometimes stupidity. They're habitual beings, and often they want to do things their own way. But despite all this, we still belong to him, and he still chooses us. Which means, number one, that you are known by the shepherd. I am the good shepherd, verse 14, and I know my sheep. He knows you. To know someone means that they know what makes you tick, they know what you like, they know what you don't like, they know what you can handle. You know, if you have a few people that know you really well after a good day at work or a bad day at work, my wife, I say to you, hey, are you all right, Aaron? And I go, yeah, fine. And they go, yeah, Aaron, are you sure you're all right? Yeah, I'm fine. And I'm clearly not okay, but she knows that. Why? Because my wife knows me. How much more does the good shepherd know you? He doesn't want to lay anything ill-fitting on you. Matthew 11, 28 says, I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and learn to live freely and lightly. I want to remind you today that you are not just known, but you are seen by the good shepherd. You have not been forgotten about. I don't know if they still do this in school, probably telling my age now, but when you went to school, they used to take registers. I'm sure they do, because it'll be a safeguarding issue, so they take a register. Rob's like, yeah, they definitely take a register. But they used to go like this: Ella, here, sir. John, here, sir. Simon, here, sir. James, here, sir. Great, let's get on with the class. I'm like, sir, I'm here. It's Aaron, I'm here. Oh, sorry. Forgot about you. It's happened to me when I was in school. God is not like that. God never forgets you off his register. You might try and hide from the good shepherd, but he will find you. Your name has and always will be on his register. Because why? In Psalm 139 says this, for you created me in my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you. Why? Because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body, and all the days ordained for me were written in his book, even before one of them came to be, because he saw me before I was born, and he knows where I'm going. You are loved. You are not unwanted. I believe. Come on. I believe that some of you have believed a lie, and you're here this morning and you have been told that you're unloved and unwanted. It is a lie from the pit of hell that you are known, that you are loved, and yet you are wanted. You were created on purpose for a purpose. He knows every single one of your days before one of them came to be. You might walk in here without a plan. Don't worry, because we have the master plan, who has a plan for you and our life. He knows me. He knows, not just knows me, but he knows what's best for me. God is not Santa Claus where he can provide everything you need when you need it. He knows what's best for me. How many know that if we got everything that we wanted when we wanted it, we would not, our lives would look very different right now. I'm thank God for that. I didn't ask get everything that I prayed for. But we live in a 2-minute noodle, air fryer, fast pass society. We want everything now. Get me on the ride first. Get me the food the quickest, although air fryers are unbelievable. Should work for Ninja. But we have to learn to trust him. He knows what's best for me and he knows better when it's best for me. You may have applied for that job and may not have got it. Thank God, he's got something better. Someone else may have got that promotion before you. Thank God I didn't, because I got another one better the year after. Some of you have prayed for that relationship, but they didn't want to continue the relationship. Thank God, because my life would have given a different way had I got into that relationship. He knows what's best for you and he knows what is best for you for your future. He knows your name. Isaiah 43 says, don't be afraid, I've redeemed you, I've called you by name. This is getting personal. John 10:3, he calls his own sheep by name, he leads them out. Hafiz, he knows your name. Shirley, he knows your name. Mal, he knows your name. Isaac, he knows your name. He knows every one of your name. I remember when I was young, I used to go to a shop called Asda. And me and my brother used to play this game called Let's See If We Can Get Lost So We Could Be Found. So we used to get lost and find our way at the customer service desk and say, hi, Karen. I've lost my mum. Oh, really? Yeah, fake tears, fake this, all fake. Staff announcement. Could the person of the marriage please report to the customer desk, please? And we're like, loved it every time. Until we saw mum, and you know, West Indian mums are not happy when that happens. But the good shepherd is calling your name. He's speaking, are you listening? The sheep says here, the sheep know his voice and they follow him. John 10:4 said he goes ahead of them and his sheep follow him because he knows his voice. But they'll never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize the stranger's voice. Church, do you know his voice? Whose voice is the loudest in your life? It's important that you choose the right voices. It will shape the course of your life. If I had listened to my teachers in school, I would not be doing what I'm doing right now today. Your teachers do not have the final say over your life. Your boss does not have the final say over your job and over your future. Parents, I want to encourage you. I've only been a parent for 3 years, but I've learned this from my parents, that I am who I am because the way that they spoke life over me. And I'm making a decision that there's so much negativity out there. When my boy comes home one day, I will speak life. I will speak positivity. I will speak because I want him to grow up who he is and whose he is. Show me your friends and I'll show you your future. Important, the voices you bring around your life, they will shape the course of your future. Your best friend is very important. Your best friend is not the person that you've known the longest. The best friend is the person that brings out the best in you. Is your best friend the person that brings out the best in you? Surround yourself with people like that. But ultimately, the loudest voice needs to be the one of your father. Recently, we went to Centre Parks and we went down these slides. Me and Jackson's first, you know, our favourite thing now is going down these slides. And, you know what, we started in the kids section thinking that was going to be good for him. Later, we determined it wasn't as good as we wanted it to be. So he was at the adult section the whole time. That's not the point of the story. He went down the slide and halfway down the slide, he got stuck. You're like, oh my goodness, I don't see my son at the top or at the bottom. Where has he gone? At the bottom, there's this lifeguard or somebody saying, come on down, keep coming, stranger's voice. But at the top, I was at the top saying, Jackson, keep coming back up, son. This way, daddy, yeah, I'm here, you can hear my voice, keep coming. The truth is, he made it back to the top. We need to be people that not only hear his voice, but follow his voice. We need to follow our Father's voice when he speaks. Maybe you are stuck and you're unsure how to move forward this morning, following the wrong voices. But let me have an encouragement to you, but your Father is saying, come on, this way, follow me. You got it. Take another step. You can do it. He can do it. Come on, just keep going. Just keep following the Father's voice. Why? Because he knows you. Number two, the good shepherd is the greatest protector. John 10 says here, like in the Message version, sorry, Pete. Let me set this before you as plainly as I can. If a person climbs over through a fence of a sheep pen instead of going through the gate, you know he's up to no good. He calls it a sheep rustler. The sheep walks right up to the gate. The gatekeeper opens the gate to him and the sheep recognizes his voice and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. If a person climbs over through the fence, the Bible describes it as a sheep rustler. I like to describe it as doing things my own way. We individuals know and think that we like to do things in our own way. I put my hand up. I know this is where I am right now, but I like that there. I know this is the right way, but I like that there and I want that now. The way out of this is over that fence. Truth is, we have a choice to make as individuals, whether we're going to go the way of the fence or the way of the gate. Going through the fence will cost you more energy and time than you wanted to spend and will often leave you feeling empty. But going through the gate will lead you to an abundance of real eternal life, much better than you can ask or ever dreamed of. I know that thing seems attractive. I know that I want that now, but I'm protecting you from that thing. I love the ice cream man outside. I say with sarcasm. God bless him, but he causes me a weekly problem. Every week, my boy comes out of kids' church, ice cream! I'm like, good God. And he's off with like a dart bullet. I want ice cream right now, daddy, right now. And I'm holding his hand. I'm saying, no, son, there's three things I want you to be careful here. It's your safety, there's timing, and there's a cost. Jackson, you need to be careful here because there's cars here and you run here, there's going to have a different outcome to this. Jackson, there's a thing called a queue, and if you cannot jump this queue, I know you're three and you don't understand what a queue is, but I'm going to teach you something called patience, thank you, Steve, about patience, about you will get there, but there's a queue and there's something. So I know it's a fruit of the Spirit. I might not experience it now, Dad, but one day, son, you will. And there's a cost to pray. They've gone expensive these days. But thank God you have a Father who can cover the cost. Trust in the Lord with your heart and not lean on your understanding, the way of the fence or the way of the gate. The pen is there to protect you, not to prohibit you. It's there as a protection over you. You may have prayed for that relationship, as I said, but it's protecting you. The Bible says that we are hemmed in. Psalms 139 says, you hem me in. Behind me and before me, you've laid your hand upon me. When God says that he's hemmed you in, it means that you are surrounded. No matter where I go, that he has hemmed me in. That if I go to the left, if I go to the right, doesn't matter because my good shepherd has hemmed me in. The pen is there to protect you and not to prohibit you. Thirdly, the good shepherd is the greatest guide. I cannot speak to you today about the good shepherd without referring to my favorite psalm of Psalm 23. The Lord is what? My shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures and he leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right path for his name's sake. And even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil. Some of you may know this, but I lived in Cape Town for over 10 years and there's many mountains in Cape Town. The one mountain that we continually climbed over the years was something called Table Mountain. One thing I've realized about climbing this mountain is that every mountain has its valleys. Its sides are scarred with deep ravines and gulches, but often the best route to the mountaintop is through the valley. And I felt the Lord speak to me to encourage you today that you may feel like you're in the valley right now, but your mountaintop is just around the corner. Your breakthrough is around the corner. Just keep walking. Even though what? I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil. I realized this in my preparation for today, is that when it says that I walk through the deepest, darkest valley, that I may walk through the deepest, but the truth is this, the Good Shepherd is walking with you. That I'm not walking alone. You may feel alone, but you're not alone. The shepherd on the mountaintop is the same shepherd on the valley. Learn what you can in your valley. It's a 4.5 hour climb to Table Mountain, and it's a 20 or 15 minute cable car journey. You are not going to have the same experience and learn the same things by taking the cable car as you are by walking. You aren't going to see the same things. They both have a price to pay, but they have a different cost. Some of you are looking for a quick fix cable car experience to get to your mountaintop. But I believe that some of us need to get those walking boots out again. I'm not gonna look for a cable car experience. I know it's gonna take me a long time to get through this, but I'm gonna put my walking boots on. I'm gonna lift my head up high. I'm gonna get that bottle of water and I'm just gonna start walking. Because I know as I walk, I'm not alone. As I walk, He's with me. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of the death, I will not fear any evil. Why? Because He is with me. The shepherd is with me. Learn what you can. He not only wants to get you through, but He wants to lead you through. I will fear no evil. He says that your rod and your staff, they comfort me. For us, looking at a rod and a staff, and it's not something really I felt comforted by. It's like, why? I don't understand this. And why is this comforted? And a rod was a short, heavy club-like device. Looks pretty aggressive, like something like my West Indian granny would have beat me with at one time. But the rod was an extension of the shepherd's right arm. It stood as a symbol of strength, his power and authority. The rod was something that they relied on for safeguarding against the predators. You know, I'm reminded when God called Moses to deliver Israel out of Egypt under Pharaoh's bondage. Initially, Moses' rod was used while tending his sheep, but later it became a symbol of authority. The rod commanded the miraculous. The staff was normally a long, slender stick and was often selected with care. I couldn't find a staff for you this morning, so I went to look for one in my local forest. Thank you, Jesus, for my carefully selected staff. But this was used as a care and management of the sheep. And just like the Spirit of God, it was a symbol of concern and compassion. It was there for the sheep's comfort, to know that they were not alone. Through the difficult terrain, the staff would guide. Take comfort today, church, and know that He's guiding you. He guides me along the right paths for His namesake. He's going to guide you along the right path. You might feel lost in this moment, like there's no way back, but He's going to lead you back to the right path. Matthew 7:7 says, and you will find Him. He's guiding you. Put your hand in His hand. Why is it good to know that His rod and His staff comfort us? Because in John 10, it says, the thief comes to only kill, steal, and destroy. Psalm 23 said, He prepares a table where? In front of my enemies. The Message translation, which I really like, prepares a 6-course dinner in front of my enemies. Yes, please. Me and my wife love saving money and going to super nice restaurants. And over the, when before we had kids, we would go to different countries and enjoy gastronomy meals. And we really enjoy that. And I had this thought, like me, my wife and I were just sat at a table and, you know, we were having a lovely conversation and someone just decided to sit down next to us and start chatting to my wife. And I didn't know them. I'd be like, who on earth are you? And why are you speaking to my wife? But I really felt like we often do that. We give a seat for the enemy at your table. The table was actually represented this in the Psalm 23 about sustenance and sustaining and strength in front of my enemies. He will do that, but you don't give him a seat for the enemy at the table. It's time to say that you can't sit here no more. I've allowed you for too long, and it's time to move that seat out of this way and say, this seat is taken for me and Jesus, and me and Jesus, and that's it. Enough is enough. Call time on it. The staff also represents at rest. You know, the shepherds would often use this staff to lean on, as I'm leaning on now. Know today that you can lean on him. There was a song that I used to sing when we were younger. Lean on me. When you're not strong, come on. For you know it better than this. Sing louder. For I'm God. That's better. That's it. It does get a little bit. Come on, you brother. We'll leave that one for Jock next week, Sunday night. We'll leave that one to you, bud. You don't have to be strong for Jesus. Lean on him. Chimdi, come help me. Lean on him. My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will not boast all the more gladly about my weakness so that Christ's power may rest on me. Let him bring you rest today. Just like in the natural, the sheep would need the water to find refreshing. Let the Spirit of God refresh you in this moment. Allow the presence of his power and peace to refresh your soul. I've asked Chimdi up here. He's done amazing his first time on today. But I really felt that some of you are tired, you're worn out, you're burnt out, and it's okay to not be okay. It's okay to be in church and to go, I'm leaning on Jesus. I don't have a strength for tomorrow morning. I don't have strength for this situation, but I'm learning to lean on the Good Shepherd. He is sustaining me and giving me the strength. So even in this moment, you can put Chimdi a bit loud in the room for me and just allow the Holy Spirit right now. Oh, Jesus, let your presence fill this place. I want to encourage you, like it says in Matthew, come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I want to encourage you in this moment as you go into your week and you don't know how you're going to get through. Remember that you are leaning on him. Remember that you are going to get through, but you have to come to Jesus. He's there, arms open wide, ready to receive you, ready to speak to you, ready to help you, ready to strengthen you. He will teach you how to take real rest. Some of you are desperate for a holiday, thinking that's going to give you rest. It won't, especially if you have toddlers. Jesus wants to give you real rest. a supernatural rest. A rest that a spa cannot give you. A rest that a weekend with the girls cannot give you. Our only rest, the supernatural rest that can come from your Heavenly Father. Lean on Him when you are not strong, and He will be everything that you need. Number four, the Good Shepherd is the one that you can trust. The truth is, it is easy to trust when you can see where you're going. But when you can't see, that's when faith comes in. I may not be able to see, but I'm believing, and that's all I'm going to do. Thing is here, the directive was never to understand. The directive was never to understand. The directive was to trust. I will never understand how I lost my mum. Never. Neither will I try and understand, because it will go round and round. It will send me crazy. But I will trust my Heavenly Father, knowing He wants to bring good things. He wants to do good things. Some of you are going through situations. You don't understand why it's happening to you. You don't understand why your husband left you, why your wife left you, why your kids are acting up, why your finances are like this, why I can't do this, why you're not going through, getting through the end of this. Let me tell you, the good Father wants to bring you good things in the good time. I don't have to understand, but He asks us to trust Him. Father, in this moment, we learn to trust in You when I don't understand. He is faithful to finish that which He began. Philippians 1 says, be confident of this, that He who began a good work in you will carry on to the day of completion, until the day of Christ. Your present position and situation is a snapshot and not the album. He's still writing your story. There's a song that says, this is not the end. My God will finish what He started. Place your hand inside of the hand of the Father. We're going to sing this song together. Allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you, and know that He's comforting in your strength today. Put your hand inside the hand of the Good Shepherd. Thanks to you.
Thanks for joining us. We pray you feel encouraged by this word. We would love to hear from you, so why not connect with us via the website at lifechurchhome.com or on our socials at Life Church Home. Have a blessed week, and we'll see you soon.